You're listening to Coriander Society Adventures, a Casters and Castles production. This is episode 17, Ralzamon Return.
Fools, welcome to the Coriander Society Adventure. Three intrepid adventurers have fallen into the clutches of Ralzamon, Master of the Unknown, and now their fate lies in his hands.
Hi everyone, it's good to be back. Joining me, I know, right? We've got Beatdown Cast Ninja Man Matt and Pods of War. This is Coriander Society, our world-hopping pulp adventure 5th edition campaign. And if you're just joining us, a lot is going on, and I'm not going to try to explain all of it, but I'll give you a brief summary. Essentially, our heroes have infiltrated the mansion of a nefarious crime boss. Underneath his mansion was the laboratory of a maniacal inventor and his legion of robots. They defeated said inventor, but it wasn't actually him, it was a Doombot. I mean, it was a diving suit with, you know, remote controlled by Dr. Zorbius. Even as they vanquished this and made it into the heart of Dr. Zorbius's laboratory, one of the captives of Dr. Zorbius, a smuggler named Saul Henning, fell under the power of Ralzamon, Master of the Unknown, whose mental abilities shroud all of Northport. So that just happened. Our heroes have taken a beating. They've used a lot of their abilities. They're in the lair of their enemy, and there's another lair directly on top of it. So, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's been a while since we've played.
It's true. All of that is true. Before anything else, I have a really quick question. Do you have a Go XLR?
I do not. I use voice mod and a stream deck. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
And they need me some of that.
They did not pay me to say that. but the two do work really, really well together. I've got
ruined the immersion. That's just his voice, okay?
Yeah, I do all of this myself.
God, I'm sorry, Pods. It's
Matt Mercer, eat your heart out.
we're about to enter another level of, is this a Star Wars character or some piece of tech equipment that Matt has no idea?
Go XLR is like a piece of tech equipment, like you said.
You mean an anime robot? Yeah, it's like an anime robot.
Go XLR!
You only said that because you watched Megas. You can't fool me.
I think we had this conversation last time.
We did. That's right. Chicks love giant robots. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
be a chick.
We actually have that campaign setting as part of this universe. Like I've promised, there are giant robots. We can go there. We just have to get out of here first. Speaking of getting out of here, let us return now to the scene of the crime.
Yep, that's a lot happening.
I'm going to paint the picture for everybody. This is the secret sub-basement beneath Thornacre and the lair of Dr. Zorbius Brandt. Or at least one of his laboratories. We have two of our heroes here, and Asena is grievously wounded out here.
I forgot about that!
Oh yeah, you are all kinds of messed up. But chat just gave out a healing boost, so we're going to go ahead and roll that right now, because you could use it.
Nice. Thank you, chat.
Before we do anything else, recover 7 hit points.
Yay!
How much health do you have at this point? Because chat just doubled down with 2 more.
I have 14 out of 66.
I have 27 out of 48, so this is fine.
All right, we're going to give another one to Asena.
Is that 3 healing boosts? Oh my gosh. Lovely. Thank you, Ludicrous Cheeseburger.
Thank you, chat. This is like one of the few times they're nice to us. Giving advantage to ninjas.
Dude, we had like in a row, like 4 or 5, Joe gets advantage, Ninja gets advantage, Zorbius gets advantage.
All right, so heal.
That was really fun.
It was. Oh, it was so fun.
I think this battle went, the previous battle from last time went really well, even though I'm almost dying.
Well, I too almost died.
Heal another 6 on top of the 7 that you just healed, Asena. Gaston took the 7 points, you take the other 6 points, and I think that's going to get us all into a good place.
Nice.
I like it. I like
Thank
it.
Thank you.
All right.
You know what my favorite thing about chat's discourse is when they have it not locked to a person, but an action. Like whoever flees, whoever opens the door, things like that. That's always enjoyable.
That's cool. Fan. And then also like when it's kind of like, you don't really know if that counts or not. Like, whatever. Yeah.
When it's left up for interpretation, when we have to, like, take a timeout to do adjudication and hold court.
It's like in categories where you're like, hold on, do I get the point?
One of the rules we always use, usually I think in King's Cup.
Only a word.
It's if you have to ask. No, it's when we're doing Never Have I Ever. If you have to ask, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Never Have I Ever at King's Cup, so that makes sense. In the before times, anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah, back when that was a thing.
Back when there were things we hadn't done.
Yeah, back when you could go outside also. All right, one more healing boost. Who wants it?
I mean, I want it, but I don't need it like they do.
You're fine, dude.
I still want it.
I want it.
You didn't. Yeah, you didn't ask who needed it. To be fair,
that's exactly. Fair. That's fair. All right, we'll go ahead and give that to Asena. Who? All right. So once more with feeling, take 9 more health.
Yay! That's big energy. Oh my gosh! That's awesome.
I know it's only a 29, but it's still, like, less than half. So, you know, she's still, like, concerned. I know that's a lot of hit points, though, so we'll see what happens.
Hey,
she tends to throw herself into things.
I know that this is, like, just the differences between all the icons, but if you could just kind of zoom in, like, right here real quick so chat can see what I see. We have a literal giant amongst these, like, children.
I mean, they are basically children.
Yeah, but I mean, he's like 10 and she's like, I think you said 14, and look, this guy's like,
I bought these asset packs with the minis from different sources, so they're formatted differently. Lay off my back.
I opened up with, I know there's different formatting. It's just, I thought that was an imp, to be honest.
This isn't the campaign with the imps. That's the other campaign.
That is very true. Oh, this campaign could have imps, though.
This campaign 100% could have imps.
I'm not sure if that's an idea I'm ready for.
I know. Like, what can it have?
Also true.
Pretty much nothing. Like, the sky's the limit. We're in a multiverse, you know?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Before we get back to it, does anybody have any more questions before the doom continues?
Yeah.
Yes, you in the coat.
So, I don't know if you want to put it on an icon, but right before Brausamon, Master of the Unknown, hijacked my roguish buddy Saul, I had made a very big point about casting Intellect Fortress on Asena, Gaston, and myself to make sure that if Brausamon decided to come mess with us, we had a bit of a
fighting
block.
Chance.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a concentration effect, so keep that in mind.
Yep.
And I'm going to keep
good. What does that mean? I can only concentrate on one thing at a time, you know, like child.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, me.
Me. I was going to say.
Water bubble.
I am a child.
My wife will be like sitting there on her computer working, playing her idle game on her phone and watching a show on the TV. And meanwhile, I'm like just zoomed in on one thing because my brain can't do anything else.
Imagine telling your wife she can only concentrate on one cell at a time.
That's how you get head explosions.
Right?
I can't even sleep without a show on. Like, I feel too bored.
I feel like that's something that feels more like about comfort or ease than it does
that's
about...
That's true.
You know, voices. You know, the voices inside
people,
your head.
Things can't get me when Netflix
that
is
too.
On.
That's true.
Oh,
actually,
you're right.
That's scientifically proven.
Yeah. Dude, Pause, you just figured out, like, you just defeated all of evil.
I did, really. Yeah, just turned on Netflix.
Although it used to be that as long as you had Netflix on, you didn't even need to be under the covers. But now that they took The Office off of Netflix, you still have to apply the covers. It's just an extra layer of protection on top.
I agree.
It's okay. They put the rest of Community on there, so I think we're balancing things
out. Yeah. No, I think that checks out.
Okay. Real talk, though. So, like, before Netflix was a thing... Like, the only movies I could sleep to were The Matrix and Starship Troopers. Because those were, like, my go-to cozy movies.
Wow, you did this even before Netflix? That sounds
yes.
so tough.
Like, I would get scared in the middle of the night, and I would go turn on FX, and it was always one of those on at, like, 2 in the morning. Usually Starship Troopers.
Like, it's afraid! You know, it's something to do with it being something where, like, you're not going to try to watch it because you've already got it down by heart. So it's comforting, it's reassuring, it's familiar, and you've got the noise going on, so you're not left with the silence of the hollowness of your own human experience in an existential crisis.
Wow, that was really deep.
Like, to the letter.
I like how you guys were having this incredibly in-depth meta conversation. I'm over here playing with my camera height.
Hey, you know, it's a good time to get things fixed. Okay, so Ludicrous Cheeseburger just granted a treasure, but the book that I'm using for treasure is in the other room, so be entertaining while I go grab it.
Ooh. All right, okay, let's see.
Pretty good at being entertaining.
That's true. Say something funny.
Funny.
I didn't say it was funny. I said it was entertaining.
Hey, funny is entertaining. It counts. There's bridge. It works.
It does totally count.
See, I got Pokemon cards.
Can you? Ooh. Are you to my right? No, you're below me. I gotta open the stream real quick.
Yeah, you're all the way on the top.
I am at the top. Yeah.
So we're in this weird, like, trickle down bunk bed right now.
Is this what trickle down of capitalism is?
No, I hope not. Maybe
trickle down economics.
That's what it was.
I mean, I like it. If this is what trickle down economics is, I'm cool with it because I like what's above and below me. So
yeah, I was gonna say I'm cool with it too because that makes me the 1%.
Yes.
It makes me a bottom, I guess.
Why did you say it like that?
It makes you a baker. Don't worry about it. You're going to make all the bread.
He was like, what the heck? You told us to be entertaining.
Hello? Hi? Am I on stream? Hello?
He's going to watch this back later and be like, what the hell?
What were they talking about?
People.
I mean, you'll know.
People watching the VOD are going to get whiplash because I opened it up immediately with, you know, Rousemon promising everyone's doom. And now it's like 15 minutes later and we're just absolutely shooting the shit. And they're going to be like... all right.
What happened to the story?
All three of you, please roll 1d20. Whoever gets the highest roll... We'll make another roll.
Oh, man. Do I get to... Oh, wow. I did not get
the highest roll.
Like a dummy.
Fun fact. So far, Pods is in the lead.
Pods is in the lead!
All right. Pods, roll 1d100.
Hey, you know what? It really did trickle down. It works, guys. Capitalism is successful again.
No, that was chance!
We did it, Rito.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's all... attributed to capitalism and how it's flawless even in its late stages.
Exactly. This is a flawless meritocracy.
That's right. Life is fair. And don't America you ever say us. Anything different. Yeah.
Did you say America sponsor?
Yes.
You heard of America sponsor.
America.
This entertainment program is brought to you in part by America.
Just play the beginning of Top Gun. Team America.
There you go. I knew where you were going with that.
Get it. It's trickling. The thoughts are trickling down. It makes sense.
Yes, it's all trickling down.
It's just all coming together.
1% of players have 50% of the crazy ideas.
That's right.
Okay, where is this thing?
I feel that's the one thing that's in like reverse. You've got 99% of players that come up with absolutely ludicrous stuff. And the other 1% on their phone, you know?
Yep. All right. So, on the... Who do you have nearby? You've got several lab assistants who've just sort of had the crap kicked out of them. So, Asena, as you are... What are all these status effects? You're prone. Are you feared? Is that what the broken heart is on you?
I think she was just sad. I don't even know
why I'm in this hallway anymore.
Pretty sure you were just sad. That's what the broken heart's for.
You know, that's fair. All right, so...
you know what it might have been? I think it was exhausted because of the berserk. It was a level of exhaustion.
Yeah.
Yes, it was one level of exhaustion.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I did not... I was, like, sitting on the floor because I did not have any energy to even walk to the room you guys are in.
Like, you were surrounded, completely surrounded by the broken bodies of your enemies, victorious in the field of battle, and then you hear Jackass McGillicuddy making promises of doom and destruction in the other room. It's just like, oh.
I guess I better go check it out.
All right, so... first off, being one level of exhaustion means that you have disadvantage on all skill checks. So your attacks are fine, your saving throws are fine, But if you're trying to stealth or, you know, wrestle or jump or all those other things, you're going to have disadvantage on the rolls.
Or convince somebody that you're okay. You know, just the basic human interaction.
Yeah, precisely.
Basically sounds like me when I haven't slept.
It's literally exhausting.
My sentences don't
finish. Avoid saying thanks you too when the waiter says have a great meal. You know, that's going to have disadvantage on that. Or happy birthday. Yeah, you're going to have disadvantage on those checks too.
Enjoy your dinner.
I completely understand.
Have a safe flight. Thanks, you too. Oh, goddamn. Well, I can never come back to this airport ever again.
Ever again.
You know what? I've actually just started laying into those. When I say stuff like that, it'll literally be something like, because this actually happened when I was flying last year, where it's literally just.
Back when that was a thing?
Yeah, seriously. Rip. It's like, oh, have a nice flight. It's like, ah, you too. It's like, ah, you know what I mean. And then they usually just laugh.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, you're over here feeling mortified, and they're like, I have heard this 50 million times, and as soon as you walk out that door, you will cease to exist.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you know what? Really, this is our fault for us just like thinking that we're worth more of their time and their mind.
I feel like working a customer service job is very enlightening, and it helps because every time you meet someone who works customer service, one, you'll be nice to them, and two, you'll know that like they will stop thinking about you 2 seconds later as long as you don't do anything cruel.
Yeah.
And you know, from being on the other end of that, I think it's way better to get literally anything of like a response than just nothing. Like, hey, I just spent like 5 minutes assisting you with something, and then they go, all right, and just walk away. I'd rather get someone go, yeah, you too. It's like, I got a smile. I got some kind of interaction that wasn't just, you're a peon. Get out of my way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Honestly.
All right.
I think really everyone should work a service job of some kind. At least
absolutely.
It should be required. It should be mandatory.
Yeah.
You know, in some countries, they have mandatory service. I feel like all countries should have mandatory customer service.
It's like, I have to quit my esports career. My state-mandated retail job is coming up.
Guys, I don't know what to do. I think I'm gonna tell them I got shingles. I don't want to go into customer service for a year. I don't think I can handle it.
I'm contagious.
You think if I have black lung, they won't let me in or something?
Oh, my God.
What if I tell them I'm an asshole? Do you think they'll still put me in there if I'm an asshole?
Especially if you're an asshole.
That's the type of thing that you need if you're an asshole.
Exactly. It's like this will either rub you smooth until you become like a river stone, or it will prove that you are intractable and not fit to participate in society.
Mate, can grab that imaginable ball and just say rub you smooth?
Shut the hell up! Shut up! The moment the words left my mouth, it was like, well, you know.
I said it. It's over.
It's out there now.
You can't leave your retail job until you like take the final, which is putting your grocery cart back.
Yes. The grocery cart morality test.
Dude, the ultimate litmus test for humanity.
All I can imagine is that not only Rousamum, but the people listening to the VOD are just like, guys, when the hell are we actually going to do this?
You have the ultimate dimension.
Sorry, what were you saying, Pods?
You have like the alternate dimensions of the game and the world, and then you also have the dimensions of the characters between like us and like Asena and our cast.
It's all in the lore.
You have one of those animatics of like your characters, but they're sitting around in the green room just bullshitting with each other.
Gaston, John, and Asena are just talking about customer service life when Rousamon's like, hey guys, I'm here. Can you like look at me? I'm gonna do a monologue.
We have a big scene coming up. Can we be there in 5?
I don't know why the cameras are backstage. The show.
You just see Gaston look directly into the camera, office style. All right. Write that down.
We just invented a new D&D genre, okay?
No, yeah, seriously.
The D&D reality TV with the in-character confession cam and everything.
Yeah.
That would be so good. What is Jim's face? It's something just I can't just fake being
nice.
I don't know.
He doesn't have to because he actually is nice.
That's the point of what I was making. He doesn't fake being nice.
It's okay. You know when the Jim looks at like he's just kind of done when he looks into the camera. I don't know how to fake that emotion where he's just like dead inside, just like.
Oh, you mean from The Office, that Jim?
Yeah.
You know, I saw him on WandaVision recently. It was really cool.
That's the next episode. It's from the... Anyways, all right. let's get back to our alternate universe.
right.
Okay. Scene. So, when we last left our heroes, you had just overcome Zorbius's remote-controlled diving suit, vanquished all of his lab assistants except for one who ran off, scattered and dismembered his army of Zorbots, and had entered the inner sanctum of his laboratory. Here is where he conducts his experiments. Asana, get back there. You haven't had a chance to walk around. We're still in initiative order. I see everything. Get back there.
Okay.
All right.
That was like a...
wanted to be in the action.
That was an OG Matt level move right there.
Just like, fudging the dice. All right. A couple of pieces of housekeeping. Whoa! First off, some guy, yeah. I accept your offer. Thank you for 12 months of being a subscriber to Casters and Castles. You're awesome. Your constant support is appreciated. Everybody gets inspiration. Also, everyone gets inspiration because some guy also spent points on it. So you all have 2 points of inspiration.
Woo! Oh, that's good because we exploded it last time. Thank you so much.
Sure did.
Goodness.
I thought you were just refusing to say his name and calling him some guy.
No, that's that's the brilliance of the whole persona.
Is his name. It's glorious.
Like it. Exactly what it sounds like on the tip.
Okay, I'm also some guy. Buff for me.
Yes.
Me up at 4.
Also, Asena, you found a small patch of a strange artificial material in the pockets of one of these two defeated lab assistants. You have no idea what it is or what it does, but you found it. Add it to your inventory.
Would you say it's a strange...
It's a patch of hard fabric, of an unfamiliar artificial fabric.
Okay.
Oh.
Interesting.
A patch, you say?
Yes, and I almost guarantee you it's not what you think it is.
Okay.
Because you don't own the book I'm rolling from, Matt.
That's very true. That's so true.
All right.
But I've got an arcana check.
That's also true. And you
I know good magic or nothing. Just blocks I like.
You just turned a tree into a wall. I think you're pretty good on magic. Wait, no, a door. A door into a wall. A door
future
into
tech.
A wall.
I don't know much on future tech.
Ah, that's more accurate, yeah.
Or modern things. But I found it and it's mine.
So,
I can't argue with that.
Saul Henning is floating in the middle of the room, several inches above the floor. He, in the voice of Ralzamon, Master of the Unknown, has thanked you for foiling the designs of his arch-nemesis, Zorbius Brandt. However, you suspect his intent. You do not know his intentions, but this is certainly a show of power. His words are ominous and threatening. Gaston... It is your turn. What do you do?
Is this are we in combat? Are we fighting this guy?
So I use initiative not only for combat, but for action scenes, where time and the order of operations matters.
So Ralzamon is just here talking through this guy.
Who is floating.
Who's floating?
Yes.
God. All right. I'm going to ask him a question, I guess. What I like to ask. What do you want? That's what I'm going to ask.
My nemesis seeks to understand things beyond the ken of nature. You too are a student of the sciences. But what is portrayed here cannot be fathomed by your mere knowledge.
Then I'll get more knowledge. I don't see the problem here.
All right, good point.
He does in anathema and aberration the unnatural and unworldly things that a man should not know. And I am here to put an end to it.
Wait, is that the only reason you do this? Because of him?
No. Because of him, and because of the forces of the anathema.
And he points to John Carmichael.
Such as you.
Anatha what now? This is for John.
Basically a spatial anomaly. Look, I don't know exactly what his terminology for it is, but he doesn't like me, apparently.
Well, let's see. You're a nice guy. He turns people into zombies and consumes them. So, sorry, Razzie. I'm not really sure I can take your side here in this. Agree to disagree?
Yeah, speaking of which, Razamon, hi, John. First time we've like officially met. What's the deal, man?
All right, so I'm just going to take care of some other initiative counts in the background. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about what's going on. Do secret rolls. Rolling secret things.
Razzie.
Razzie Dazzy.
That's his name now. Razz hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, I forgot. Last time, somebody gave disadvantage to both Extra and Quirk, the two gifted who you've rescued.
Oh,
Why would they do that?
All right. So, Quirk, her eyes go wide, her pupils dilate, and she floats and rotates to face you.
Oh my god.
Extra also rolls a saving throw. The three of them are all floating under the power of Ralzamon, facing down Gaston and John.
Of course they are.
Forces from beyond this world seek to corrupt our ancient heritage. I have plundered the knowledge of Sihai and learned the lost secrets of Zolquia. I am the last remaining guardian of this world, and I shall be the bulwark against the forces of the outside. You will go back whence you came.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with that. That's kind of the point, actually. Do you have any suggestions, Mr. Guardian of Zolquia?
Yes, he has a suggestion. Roll wisdom saving throw.
Okay. He wants to go that way, huh?
Mm-hmm. You have advantage on this because of Intellect Fortress.
That I do. Yeah, suck it.
All right. From the three of them, waves and waves of confusion and scattered thoughts and just visions and fragments of your past began bubbling up inside your head. But this is all at surface level. It doesn't really pierce through. It's like seeing faint projections on the outside of a pane of glass. It never really truly reaches you. This is being generated from Saul. The attack continues, and you feel like it's going to intensify the longer he focuses it on you. Asena, while this is all going on, you can hear all of this being said around the corner. You are down on the ground, surrounded by just like groaning dudes who have been blown up, shot, punched in the face, and the broken remote control diving suit that Dr. Zorbius used. And you can hear all of this emitting from inside the room. What do you do?
So Asena has her suspicions, but needs to check out what's going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you just do? Okay. Asena's going to go walk right here to where she can see what's in the room, but her back's still against the wall. She's being very quiet and very much just observing, because she's not sure if she wants to get into this.
Okay. Do you want to roll a stealth check with disadvantage? I mean, you can't not roll with disadvantage unless you want to burn one of your inspiration, but do you want to roll a stealth check here?
Yeah.
All right. Roll it. Wow. Okay. Dirty 20s. Not bad. You see...
That's crazy.
Extra, Quirk, and Saul all floating a couple of inches, like 6 inches off the ground, dangling like puppets, facing these guys. And you can almost see in the corner of your mind's eye a vast silhouette with a huge collar standing behind them. One that you've seen in your own mind before. But this time, its wrath is not directed at you.
That's wild. She's not gonna do anything.
Okay.
She, like, can see it and, you know, doesn't want this thing to invade her mind. So she's not as worried as before, especially after her talk with, what was it, Sal? But now he's crazy and he's floating. So
true. He is both of those things.
She's not sure if he was lying to her or if, you know, maybe he's just weak to that. So yeah, she's just gonna chill out in the hallway and be quiet.
Alright. Saul continues to speak to John.
Submit, interloper. Your magic has no place in this world.
Wub, 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 wub. Roll a wisdom saving throw with advantage because you still have Intellect Fortress.
Sure. Wait, so he's getting to go again?
Yes.
Okay.
He's controlling his puppets.
Yeah. Okay. And let me know when I get a chance to say something.
It is about to be your turn. Okay, yeah. Your magical mental armor completely blocks the mental onslaught of Ralzamon. It is your turn.
John grits his teeth at his psychic interpositions and... No, you know what? I think I'm fine right where I'm at, but I need you to go ahead and let these people go. Before I jettison your control from them, what is it that you want? I'm sure we can come to some sort of a reasonable end to all of this. You seem to be doing quite a lot, both to the people I know and to those I do not. What's your end goal, Ralzamon? I'm happy to get out of here.
You and the others from this world.
And who are the others?
I will not reason with the forces of the aberration from beyond.
Okay, well then, goodbye. John snaps his fingers and casts Dispel Magic on Saul.
Alright. I believe you make an intelligence check.
If the effect holding them is over 4th level, yeah.
It is.
Then, yes. But here's the thing, though. I specialize in abjuration magic, of which Dispel Magic is, so I get to add my proficiency bonus to this. So, suck on that.
Make sure this is a flat roll, unless you're spending inspiration.
Yes, normal roll. And... 19! Yeah, baby! Suck
okay.
on that!
And he collapses to the ground. The other two... are still floating.
Dang it! I thought it was coming from Saul. Okay.
All right.
Well?
Do you want to move at all? Do you have any bonus actions?
Yeah, I would like to move up and check on Saul.
Okay.
How are you doing?
He is unconscious, but roll a medicine check.
He's unconscious?
He's unconscious.
Oh my gosh, okay. I guess that's what the medicine check is for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, does he appear to be okay?
It doesn't seem like he's injured. It seems more like his brain is rebooting.
Okay.
Like he's unconscious or incapacitated for one round.
I look to the newsy kid. And I say, hey, kid. Newsflash, or whatever you say. Little boy and little girl, shake off the... mental invasion of some weird old guy.
Alright. I'm going to give advantage on Extra's next save against this power.
Yeah!
Gaston, it is your turn. What do you do?
I feel like there isn't a whole lot I can do. Are they, like, doing anything? I feel like they're just standing here arguing about ideals I don't fully understand yet.
Mm-hmm. You haven't really felt anything from it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna start looting this room and be like, John, you got this, right? Okay.
Yeah, please. No. Get what we came for. I'm gonna take care of this.
What did... I don't even remember. What did we come here for?
We need Zorbius' plans.
Ah! Yes.
There's research notes on the table over there.
Yeah, it looks like there's stuff behind me. I see some paper there, so I'm gonna start, you know, fiddling, looking, perusing.
If you all right.
Will. Perusing, that's a good word.
Thank you.
All right, excellent. Roll an investigation check for me, please.
Da, da, da. Investigation. 17, you like that?
All right, no, that's not bad at all. So you find medical notes and research notes. Remember, these four pods along the bottom here, there are people inside them hooked up to this machinery. You have found medical research notes. Roll a science or a medicine check. Your choice.
Janessa, it's your people.
What?
Oh, the four pods.
Oh.
Would you say they're pods of war?
I'm hoping so.
I mean, they may not be of war yet, but they could certainly be turned towards that purpose.
I finally know what a pods of war is.
She's like, I made this when I was 12.
All right. The pod on the far left-hand side contains Florence Giotto, daughter of Lincoln Giotto. She is in a medically induced coma. Her pod is suffused with nutrient-rich, glowing goo. And the light is important because you notice as you read through the notes and you look in, you see that her shadow is somehow warbling across the entire interior of the pod. And at times, her skin goes dark and translucent, and you can see through into her bone and her muscle and sinew in this pattern that flashes and moves across her body. This pod is all that is keeping her shadow powers from completely destabilizing her body and causing her to lose her corporeality.
There was something we had heard about that earlier, right?
Yes.
So she's a gifted?
She's a gifted, but her gift is going to, like, destroy her body.
I see.
This is how Dr. Zorbius got this base. This is the source of his alliance with Lincoln Giotto. Lincoln basically promised him resources and assistance in his research in exchange for helping to save his daughter's life. As long as this machine continues to run and is carefully maintained, no harm will come to her. But without the doctor's constant maintenance, who knows what will happen?
That's kind of cute of him to do.
It's very Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Hey, is there like a button to open the pod?
You don't see like a big old open pod button. And it's probably going to take you a little bit more work to figure out, like, there's a whole process. You have to drain the goo, open the latch. You could just open it. You know, you could just pop it open. But it's designed to be opened through an elaborate process.
Do these notes tell me anything of this process?
With a little more research, you could probably figure it out if you stand here and go over the notes. You think you've got a good shot. The other three pods contain other gifted. They are not here for the same purpose. They are being studied by Dr. Zorbius. He wants to figure out what makes them gifted, what separates the gifted from the mundane, and how can he replicate that? That is the crux of his research. Yes.
Just now, you were talking about the medical notes we have on Florence Giotto, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
Yes. But the other three, again, are gifted that have been kidnapped from across Northport. All right, let's move along. Rolling some secret dice for stuff that surely won't affect you in any way, shape, or form.
Of course, why would it?
All right.
But yeah, guys, specifically, we are looking for any clues that we can find about Dre and Warner Dodson. We need to steal these research notes from Sorbius. And Gaston, you have a personal mission to kill Lincoln Geodo.
Which I'm
more than happy to help with.
Oh, John is on board. I like it.
Also, if we can find anything about the Army of the Eclipse, specifically, there's a picture about the expedition that was formed by them that is likely what started Asena being out in the middle of nowhere when the airship crashed. Anything that we can find out about that would be perfect.
Sure. Since I think once you deal with all of this stuff, we'll have the run of the place, if you will. How about we amend the plan a tiny bit, because I'm super interested in letting these kids out too.
We'll need to be very careful about Geodo's daughter, because she could literally die. And we should see if there's any notes about the rest of them. I'm sure there is. Also, one thing we need to find as well is we know that both the Column and Sorbius are looking for and want Sun-Jia. We need to figure out why Sorbius wants Sun-Jia. I'm sure there's got to be something about that here.
Maybe. I'll look for that too.
All right. Quirk, the thief, turns towards you, John.
The gift of the Dead Star is from beyond this world, but I will find uses for it.
And she, her hand jerks forward, and her hands lunge towards you. There's this crackling, this odd surge, and then, as she points those hands right at you, a ball of fire streaks from her hands into the center of the room.
Oh, of course it does.
And
as soon as her hands zoom out, John traces a quick little line in the air, looks like a little makeshift shield, and then shunts it forward, explodes in blue energy as he casts counterspell.
Okay. You counter the fireball that just popped off.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
It snuffs into nothingness. Quirk is going to roll a new saving throw. Which she succeeds as her chaotic powers spark out of control and she collapses to the ground.
Hey, mate, also, I don't know if you have a note on any of these, but John, incredibly smart. Matt, not as much. I'm sure that John probably remembers a lot of this stuff that you're saying about red sun and dark power. If I could, you know.
None of this sounds familiar to you.
Oh, it's less about does it sound familiar, and I just want to know what is being said.
You don't know.
At least it comes up later.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you'll remember. That's fine. Yeah, if that's what you're asking, then 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Extra is going to make his saving throw at the beginning of his turn because of the assistance that you provided, instead of at the end of his turn. All right. With a 19, that's enough. He throws off the effect. The shadow of Ralzamon fades from the room. And Extra goes splat on the floor.
Can I catch him since I was right there kind of
kicking
him through it?
Yeah. Okay. He was only going to fall 6 inches, but cinematically, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Combat is over. What would you like to do? I want to check with Asena first, just because she saw all this from the outside. But after that, we are in free exploration mode.
Yeah, I think with everyone, you know, they're back on the ground and not floating.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna just like lurk her way in through the room.
All right.
To this little corner.
There are lockers full of storage material, primitive by modern standards, incredibly sophisticated by the standards of the day, computers along this wall, monitoring and power panels that control the nutrient levels and energy levels of these pods along here, a table full of scraps of inventions and machinery, and a bench with notes, chemicals, bubbling things. You know, those electrical, those Jacob's Ladders electrical things that have no purpose but are necessary in a scientist's laboratory. Several of those lying around the room.
Can I go look in these like little locker boxes?
Absolutely. Roll an investigation check.
A normal one?
Yep. A normal flat investigation check. No, you should have disadvantage on this because you're still fatigued. Roll again and we'll take the worst of the two. All right, we're going to take that six. So you're busting through, and they're all locked. So the reason that you don't find anything is because you're taking this time to, like, test it, fight with it, shove it, shake it wildly, attempt to pry it open. You accidentally pry the whole thing off the wall instead, but it's still closed. It's going to be a bit of a process.
Hey, careful over there. We can probably get that open, Asena.
I'm just going to look at John, and I'm going to kick the locker boxes once more. I'm just gonna like plop on the ground too.
Right. What's the locker ever do to you?
Join the floor people.
She just lies down on the floor.
All right.
Yeah. I'm pouting now.
John, while Gaston continues to go through the notes, I'll check in with him to let him know what he discovers in a moment. John, what are you up to?
I'm gonna check on the kids and Saul. I mean, you mm-hmm. said that they're all okay. But are they, like, if I can slap their face awake okay? Or are
yeah.
they, like...
Oh, they, okay. they come to pretty quickly. Like, a round later, they would have been out for a round, and then they would have been groggy, but all right.
I'd like to rouse them, and then kind of as a group, but also individually, question mm-hmm. them if they remember anything about what just happened, if they were present during it, kind of just find out and ascertain what just happened to them.
All right, so Saul, now that he's no longer under the power of Ralzamon, he recounts his story. The two of you met when he was doing Zorbius's dirty work, but after your encounter, you made him leave town. He had a strange dream compelling him to return, and he was captured on the way back.
Great.
But that dream that led him back directed him exactly to where Zorbius's goons would be waiting for him. He's been lurking here ever since. They brought him into the tunnel, interrogated him, and locked him up.
So he hasn't done any more jobs for them since he's been back?
Nope.
They're just tying up loose ends, it seems.
So it seems. But again, he was compelled by some other force, the same force that just made him float and do weird stuff. Forced him to go directly back to Zorbius's clutches, and it's been hovering over his mind ever since.
What sort of questions did they ask him?
They wanted to know what he remembered about the operation. They wanted to know who was involved in breaking up the operation. They wanted to know if he was working with the police. They wanted to know about you, which he didn't have a whole lot to tell, because it's not like you ever gave him too many details. Mostly they had him locked up because he knew too much and they were trying to figure out what to do with him.
And then specifically, he worked for Zorbius. Ralzamon kind of forced him back. Were they at all surprised that he somehow just kind of wandered into a group of their henchmen? Or, you know, how exactly did that happen? Did it seem like they knew to wait for him, like they were working together? Or did it seem surprising that he just kind of stumbled into them?
I think all parties were pretty confused by it.
Okay. But definitely not, John's not getting the sense that Zorbius and Ralzamon were working together on this.
Absolutely not. Probably the exact opposite.
Okay.
Saul was a plant to mentally spy on Zorbius's operation.
From a prison cell?
It worked eventually, kind of, somewhat.
Okay.
50% of the time, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the other two? When was Newsy picked up?
Not long after the incident with the crocodile, apparently that some word got out throughout the underworld about that, and shortly later, the street freak, the gang called the Freaks, rounded him up. They figured out a way to hit him in the sewers, which pissed off the beggars who work for Cassius, the beggar prince, but the freaks don't seem to care.
The freaks, are they the ones in Aelberg?
Oh, no, the freaks wouldn't have captured him. No, yeah, they definitely the freaks wouldn't have captured him. My bad. I pulled the wrong information. The freaks are the ones in Aelberg.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it was Colum. The Colum grabbed him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That's why he's here.
Mm-hmm.
And were they questioning him, or they just wanted him for some reason?
Nope, they just locked him up. The Colum didn't want anything to do with him. They just brought him straight to Dr. Zorbius.
So they're kind of Zorbius's enforcers. They keep an eye out for these gifted and bring them back here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's the same story for the fire thief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where did she get picked up?
She had just hit a bank. Like a smaller bank, you know.
Okay.
There was, yeah, like a little credit union. she had just done a job. She got in and got out and was working with a crew, and they were tracked down by the Colum.
So her whole crew got grabbed.
Yeah, but she's the only one who ended up here.
Does she know where the rest... Were they friends, or were they just business?
They were just, you know, fellow thieves. The Colum actually hired them out for the job. And then when they came to collect their pay, they got.
Oh, is she worried about them at all?
She's sort of used to doing things on her own. She definitely wants payback against the Colum. But, like, she sort of hops from group to group. She doesn't like to stick around.
That's not a way to live life, honey.
Yeah, but, you know, weird things happen around her, and it's kind of dangerous, you know?
No, trust me, I completely understand that. Weird things and danger would be my main name if it wasn't, something else.
There was one group that I was rolling with for a while, and I liked them, but then I accidentally turned a guy into a flower pot.
That happens. Yeah, that's a thing. Okay.
I don't think it's a thing.
We need to get you guys out of here. So, Saul, it seems like you've been here the longest, and he's had, at least Rosamond has had the most chance to mentally control you. Was there any kind of a plan, or when you guys were under, did you get any sense that there was a two-way street, or were you just completely shoved out and Rosamond was in control?
There was a powerful force compelling and overriding my mind, and I felt pretty helpless in its grasp. I did not get anything except for, not hatred, but scorn. A strong sense of scorn for you. And for... He turns around, he looks at Asena for a moment. No, and then he looks at the tooth around your neck. And that.
Yeah, Realm. Oh, go ahead.
I'll just be like, is he looking at me? Is he looking at this? What's he looking at?
No, not you. There was something different for you, but for that piece of flash that you're wearing, not a fan.
Like, you just don't like the look?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's, you know, more into gold. I'm not sure. Maybe he likes the classics.
Flowers,
I'm just
gonna
look at John. I just be like, help.
It's the Dargon. It seems like those things aren't from around here. Yeah. I look at the flower girl or the fire girl and say, "Hey, Flowers, you said something about Dark Sun when you were under his control, or red something or other.
Dead Star."
Yeah. And then he said something about taking over control of it. Star doesn't sound like from around here. It seems like Rosamond is all about evicting any entity that doesn't belong in and around this area, but yet he wants to take control of powers that are beyond his comprehension. That doesn't seem to track. This guy's... I think he's drinking from the... What's that? What's that word? Heretical...
Sampling his own supply?
Yeah, basically, like, you know those people who are like, yeah, you know, they took our jobs, but they took someone's job, and it's like, you're being kind of ignorant, you're like, you want everyone to, like, leave, but at the same time, you know, you shouldn't be here. Yeah, a hypocrite, thank you. That one, exactly.
How does the wolf lady know all these fancy words you're saying when you're just like,
because there's so much dark eldritch crap up in here along with the academia that sometimes I don't know how to comprehend my own thoughts, let alone push it into speech, all right?
Yeah, you and me both, mister.
Anyway. All right. Are you guys good to go?
Sorry, not you guys.
The mind control freaks.
Really?
Look.
We're just name calling now.
Yeah, as opposed to the unmind controlled freaks. Saul and Extra, they absolutely want out of here. But Quirk is pissed off. She's like, hey, these guys, you know, they rightfully stole when I was in the middle of stealing something, so I gotta get them back. I gotta lift something real nice out of this place. There's a fancy house upstairs, right?
Weren't you incredibly worried about getting caught though?
Yeah, but I'm also incredibly pissed off.
Yeah, but a moment ago, you were barely okay with helping us. Now you want to lift something from Lincoln Giotto?
John, the man is upset. He obviously wants to stick it to Lincoln Giotto.
Girl,
who are we to stop her?
The way I see it, she did some good work here, and she needs some form of payment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, are we going to pay her? Last I checked, we're pretty broke.
I mean, here's the thing. You
think that I don't just, like, take things everywhere from where we sit?
Yeah, she literally does that.
No, but guys, here's the thing. You and me and you, we came here with a job, and we just kind of stumbled upon what was effectively hostages. I just feel a little bit weird dragging a couple of kids and, you know, Saul through this business they don't really have any part of.
You don't think that they're our friends now?
That's not it at all.
They weren't going to go by themselves? Were we supposed to escort them? I'm still looking through stuff here.
I'm just saying, like, watching you two, I'm fine with that. Having you guys watch my back, I'm super cool with that. But adding three in the mix, that's a lot. That's a liability.
Saul
and Extra are the only reasons we didn't die.
I seem to remember how combat happens differently.
He
very much helped us.
No. I'm not saying they're not useful. I looked to the rest and look. I was extremely glad to have all of your help. The fire, the world bending. We got to talk about that later, Extra. And you, Saul, you took a bubblegun shot. That was great. You all equally, except for Saul, helped at making sure that we could get ourselves out of this mess. I'm just saying that maybe we tuck them somewhere safe while we figure out a way to get us all out of here safely. You know what I mean?
Saul goes, oh yeah, safe sounds good. Extra sort of nods. But Quirk is looking around, just like sizing up the street value of every object in here.
Okay. Quirk, is it? Let me put this in terms that maybe are a little more your level. If you take something from Lincoln Giotto's house and you fence it anywhere in Northport, there's a really good chance that fence is going to know it came from Lincoln Giotto's house. You get what I'm saying? This place is pretty big for your bridges.
Can you check your DMs?
Yep.
Cool. Okay, I absolutely do that.
All right, roll a sleight of hand check.
Okay.
Quirk says, look, I mean, what are the lot of you going to do? Are you leaving this place intact? Are you leaving this guy? I mean, don't you want some of his fancy stuff, too? I figure, you know, if enough of it gets out on the market. And besides, I'll take it as a trophy if I have to. Matt, you notice Gaston going through the research notes. He sort of looks over his shoulder, scribbles something on a piece of paper, and then surreptitiously, you know, wink, passes it over to Extra, looks up at him, unfolds the note, attempting to be subtle, looks down at it. Extra, read all about it. Uptight otherworldly being decides larceny is a-okay. Matt, roll a charisma saving throw with advantage.
John, as he's kind of watched this play out, he's like, what are you guys? Oh, shit.
I'm laughing in character, by the way. Asuna is now laughing at you.
All right. You know what, Matt? She's been through a lot. Reparations are probably owed here, right? Doesn't that sound like a completely logical argument?
Yes, you're absolutely right. It does. I would like to clarify, by the way, I have no issue with her stealing things. John is just worried about the well-being of a couple of kids and a guy that absolutely should not be going through what is effectively the highest level dungeon in Northport. That's all John's worried
about. I can slip him another note if that'll help you feel better.
Maybe you're underestimating them and their powers, okay?
Again, there's no them here. There's one person who wants to steal something and two people who want to GTFO.
True.
How about we just let everybody do whatever they want to do?
I like that. I like that.
Suffer the consequences for it.
So going from his mild concern to his shock that, ah, crap, this is going to happen, isn't it? And then a moment later, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take a look around and just kind of support the area. You grab anything that isn't nailed down, I guess. And John takes a look around.
All right. You find, eventually you're able to break open the lockers, and you find four toolkits, sort of tinkers and gadgeteering tools, four lab assistant uniforms for Zorbian lab assistants, and one each of the following: a ray gun, a freeze gun, a hypno ray, and of course, a bubble gun.
Four guns for four people.
What's happening? Can I?
You also find notes about a process by which deep sea volcanic vent life forms, worms, can be harvested to create the glowing goo that is both suffusing the nutrient pods and providing weaponry that is being used against Sun Jia. Roll a science check, any scientists in the party.
Wait, so that liquid being fed into these pods is the same as the sun guns?
It's derived from the same base ingredients. But the most of that light stuff is in Florence Giotto's pod, because her gift is specifically linked to shadows. So there's like a very high... Hers is glowing. Everyone else's is kind of glowing. Hers is super glowing.
I see. Yeah.
I'm not there, right? So I can't do the check.
I mean, eventually you can collaborate on this. And for you, I would actually take nature or science, by the way. All right, so you broke that down. You find additional research notes. And some of those notes have to do with this same, essentially, super phytoplankton. And its use for weaponization against non-human ex-human targets.
Does it say where we can find these, what did you call them, super...
These essentially super phytoplankton? Well, if you'd succeeded on your science check, you might have been able to determine their natural environment.
Nike. Okay, then, do the notes say anything about how likely Florence Giotto will die if I open the pod?
It's pretty likely that she will fade. The exact consequences are uncertain, but she's essentially fading. And I don't mean like, you know, people fade of mysterious diseases in Victorian times. I mean like physically fading from reality.
Sorry, I DC'd for a sec. Can you say that again?
Yeah. So again, her body is fading and her shadow is replacing her body. So it's... You're not sure if she's going to die. You're not sure what's going to happen to her. Lincoln understood it as her being sick, but Zorbius believes that it is some sort of extra-dimensional phasing going on, and that it can be stabilized through the use of light.
Is she, like, conscious? No, you said she's in a coma.
Correct. She's in a medically induced coma.
So is there to wake her up while keeping her in the pod?
Well, I mean, she'd wake up completely surrounded by goo and unable to talk.
What if I, like, lower, drain the glue, just the goo, just a little bit.
Mm. You could
wear her, you know, above the neck or below the neck, or whatever.
You may certainly try.
Okay, okay. That's what my next couple of turns are going to be dedicated to. I'm very interested.
Check in with the rest of you. Matt, you wanted to make a nature or a science check, and Asena, after those lockers are cracked open and there's these four high-tech weapons, did you want to help yourself to one of them?
Heck yeah, dude!
All right, which one did you want to pick up?
Oh, okay. So there was a freeze ray and a bubble gun, and what were the other two?
A ray gun and a hypno ray, which is, again, literally a big spiral painted black and white disc.
Not taking that one, that's for sure.
What? Come on.
Yeah, it sounds like something you would pick.
That's true.
I'm gonna pick up the ray gun and be like, what does this one do? Just
are you
asking to the party?
What does what gun do? What is she holding?
I'm pretty sure I walked away. I would like to be there because I would like all of those things.
I can't leave.
So if someone's loud enough to say, what does this thing do? And I can hear it, I'm going to run back in and go, excuse me?
Can I like wear it up a little bit? Like I just turned it on?
Like prime it?
Yeah. Roll 1d10, please.
Wait, what gun are you holding?
A ray gun.
It's a ray gun.
Too bad we don't got a pack punch machine nearby, am I right, guys?
Sorry.
Oh, D10, right. No?
Yeah, the math is equivalent.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, true.
So it starts to hum and lightning sort of bzzz and begins to gather at this antenna radar dish looking thing at the end of it.
Is it loud, mate?
It's not that loud.
Okay, well, is it loud enough for somebody with a 21 passive perception to hear that there's a laser gun, like, priming?
Yes, but at the moment you're slightly distracted by the scene you have discovered. This is an examination room. Corpses have been dissected and analyzed in here. Some of them appear to be gifted, who've gone missing or have, you know, failed the analysis. Whatever tests they were put through, whatever Dr. Zorbius hopes to learn from them, either he did or he didn't, but they did not survive. But one of them, John, shows the telltale signs of the Angel Killer.
I would like to investigate. Is it the one that's like on the table right in front of me?
Mm-hmm. All right, roll an investigation check. Feel free to use a deduction dice if you'd like, whatever you'd like to do. All right, 24. You take a look at the victim, and you realize this is a victim that was never reported from one of the killings. The body was never collected, the corpse was never discovered. Dr. Zorbius and his minions got to it first. It's probably a couple of cycles old, and there are copious examination notes here. They specifically say that this corpse was allowed to undergo reanimation for further study and for weapons testing. They've pinned down the time of reanimation to approximately 24 hours. And they believe that the corpse is no longer human, neither alive nor dead. It seems that Zorbius and his ilk have successfully identified whatever process it is that befalls the Angel Killer's rejected victims.
Okay, so just to clarify, this is a person that was likely a candidate for the process of ascending to an angel or whatever that process is. And
They were killed in the style of the Angel Killings, recovered before it was reported by Zorbius and their ilk, mm-hmm. and was allowed to be... was tested on before reanimation, or was allowed to reanimate, and then it took 24 hours. No longer human, so undead. Mm-hmm. And there was one more final thing I think you covered.
They tested the different weapon systems on it. They tested the... Yeah, okay. They tested the ultralight conversion weapon on it and found it to be ineffective.
Anything else? Did they test fire, like lightning, like different guns that they have, different effects?
Yeah, they tested like the freeze rays, the ray guns, so on and so forth. They've come to the conclusion that replicative fading is in process. So when they are killed by the Angel Killer, they do not undergo the exact process that creates those killers. It's a lesser process, so they become some lower form of undead unlife. They have determined that physical damage is not effective, but silver damage is effective, and they're completely immune to poison. But all energy forms seem to be effective.
So, okay, you said immune to poison, and you said they're immune to normal, like...
Resistant. They have resistance to non-magical physical damage, but silver... weapons and elemental damage works. Gotcha. And the solar ray attacks, the sun goo attacks, they don't like it, but it's not particularly damaging. It just makes them less effective.
How? Are we talking like temporarily like stuns them or blinds them?
It gives them disadvantage, essentially. If they get tagged with it, like, they can't fight effectively.
Gotcha, okay. Mm-hmm. Have we confirmed, by the way, if you shot a person with one of those sun... globs, does it do a similar thing?
No, it's virtually harmless if you shoot a person with it.
Aside from like stinging or something.
Yeah, it's like getting hit with a paintball.
Try it on me.
And is there anything else of use in this room other than that cadaver?
No.
Okay, at that... I'm assuming the ray gun that she's holding goes off before I'm able to come back.
I believe, Asana, you said you weren't firing it. You were just sort of warming it up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think
I
that both...
It on, but I'm not on the trigger.
Yeah. And we rolled to determine whether or not it would go off in your hands, and it did not.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Of course.
So John returns, intent on explaining what he found, sees that Asana has this... charged and primed ray gun. Does John have any idea what that thing does?
I don't know if you guys have seen a ray gun used yet. You've seen the bubble gun, the freeze ray, and the hypno ray, but I don't know if you've seen a ray gun.
And also the rage gas beam.
Yes, thing. That one as well. The rage fire.
Yeah, it's a good name.
She's gonna like spin around and like point it at John and be like, "Hey."
Oh, hey, let's absolutely not. John tries to, like, kind of duck out of the way, immediately approaches Asana. Hey, Asana, would you mind if I could take a little look at that before you decide to shoot me in the face with it?
There's three other guns you could take a look at.
Maybe if you could just not shoot me in the face with that one.
Just wanted to know what it did.
Is there another ray gun, mate?
No.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I try to look past her and look at the others and go, you know, Senna, that appears to be the only one. I'll give it right back if you could allow me to just take a quick look at it.
She's gonna, like, turn it off.
Thank God.
But still keep her hands on it.
Yeah.
I just want to know what it does, but I still want dibs. Like, I'm still calling dibs because this one might be mine.
Absolutely. Oh, no. First dibs is yours. Remember, I can do all kinds of cool stuff.
And Gaston very briefly interject.
Yeah.
Did he freeze? Right when he was going to interject? Oh, my God.
I
thought you were just pausing dramatically.
So
like,
did I.
Gaston
I was like,
very briefly interjects.
I was just going to say...
Damn it. Oh, you caught me with my pants down.
I was going to just... I was just going to say, John, do you have something to give her for borrowing the ray gun? You got to know how Santa rolls by now while I'm, like, sifting through notes.
Yeah, how about I gave you a watery sphere that kept the robots from killing us, or maybe that, you know, mind shield that prevents a Drowsimon from hacking your brain. I don't know, maybe one of those things could have been a nice, you know, collateral for looking at a ray gun. Or I've got this, and John just pulls some random dude out of his briefcase.
You're going to need to do a little bit better than that, Matt. What is the random doodad?
The random doodad is, let me go ahead and roll a 1d100. Give me a second here.
While he's rolling, I'm just going to look at Gaston and be like, you know, you could have had that stone tablet, but you had to destroy that. So,
I mean, I feel like I didn't lose anything destroying that tablet. I'm going to be real, especially with how everything's ended. I feel pretty good.
I liked it.
I'm sorry, you mean like the possible, the academic ramifications of destroying a precious, possibly Zoquian artifact? We're not even sure what or where that thing was, and yeah, now it's and gone. You know what?
I bet you that's against the law.
Yeah, I bet it is. I don't know what
destroying evidence?
Do I need to remind you guys that I killed the man yesterday?
Gaston, I threw a lightning bolt down a hallway inside of a factory with many, many people.
So why are we all talking about the law?
I'm not worried about the law. I'm worried about the fact that you destroyed a precious ancient artifact that maybe I wasn't going to study it, but somebody in academia was going to. They could have made use of it.
And that artifact was innocent, probably.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most likely.
How do you know, Asena? What if it was guilty? Did you ever think about that?
Well, I'm sorry. Do you ever think about, like, maybe not just assuming things are guilty?
No, I don't.
John pulls out a little plastic ball, about the size of probably a grapefruit. And it has a red star. It's a yellow ball with a red star and a blue stripe surrounding it. Squeaks it a little bit and then passes it over to Asena.
Is it squeaky? Oh, so it's like squeaky rubber with like a hollow interior?
Yeah.
Asena's going to glare at John, but she's taking it. Like, really? This is what you resort me to? But also intrigued. So
John also pulls out a white desk lamp, like the cord, like dangling and everything.
Wow.
Like, would you prefer this instead?
No.
No? Okay.
She's just gonna like play with her ball.
Matt, some of the ambient magic in the briefcase goes off, and the lamp looks at you, and it looks at the ball, and goes, as you plunk it back into the suitcase.
Nice. And John's going to investigate the ray gun.
Okay. It looks like a ray gun. It's, you know, got a pistol-style handle, and then a series of spheres that get smaller and rings that go around it, and it terminates in this radar dish-looking energy protection business end.
Excellent. Based off of, again, John coming from a modern world where mostly things like this were science fiction, but he's been a few different places, much like one of the last worlds he was on where they fired literal lightning out of guns. Can he try to take a look at maybe what is powering this device or anything that might give him a hint as to what it does if the trigger is pulled?
Well, I mean, it probably shoots a ray.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks like something that Spaceman Spiff or Flash Gordon would carry.
You want us to just shoot this thing, don't you? You're not going to say. You want us to just shoot this thing in the middle of this room.
Well, I mean, like, look, the stuff from the world of Dragoon was, you know, it looked purpose-built. It looked like something that real scientists would make. This looks like a prop from a 1950s black-and-white film. This looks like when you pull the trigger, you know, some bad special effects should, you know, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo out from it.
You know, Senna, upon further analysis, I think you just need to walk down the hall, point this at a wall, and fire and pray if you want to see what this thing does. Or wait till we see a robot and test it out then, and I'll go ahead and pass it back to her.
Well, now I don't know if I want it.
Okay, well, how about this? And John puts it in his coat. I'll hold on to it until you decide otherwise.
No.
She'll
put her hands out to get the ray gun and give back the ball, too.
John will pass back the ray gun, grab the ball, squeak, squeak, and put it back in his briefcase.
Those other guns are pretty powerful, though, so it's not like I took the best one or anything. I just took the most ominous one.
And the most
mysterious. I'm glad you have it. And with that, John is going to just gently glide past and go look at those other guns.
All right. So, again, a freeze ray, a hypno gun, and a bubble gun.
I pass the bubble gun over to Saul. Here, you are pretty familiar with these.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
Who wants the freeze ray?
Sure.
Gaston, is that something you would... Yep. Oh, you already have a freeze ray, Gaston. You don't need another one.
Oh, right. I mean, I could have two. What's wrong with having two?
Double shotguns is pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go
remember
ahead and
when
hold
you
on
doubled
to
the
this.
Shotguns?
I remember it was quite effective, but what if I need to freeze somebody? And
you probably have a spell for that.
I probably do, but you know what? Spells run out. This gun maybe doesn't. You know what? Fine, here, take it. You double shotgun the freeze ray.
I don't know why you asked. If you wanted the freeze ray, you say dibs.
I usually do say that. That's true.
John
sorry, just
the remaining guns. I think it's two so hypno rays, right?
Nope. There was a bubble ray, a freeze ray gun, and a hypno ray.
And John takes the hypno ray and goes, "This is up my alley anyway." And he'll go ahead and just toss that in the briefcase.
Quirk looks over. Wait, were we calling dibs? Oh, damn it.
Yeah, you totally missed your chance. That's unfortunate. But you know what? There's a really cool looking, if you go actually right out this room, head on north down the hallway, and then make your first right. There's something really cool in that room that I totally forgot to grab if you want to go get it real quick.
Perfect. She runs down the hallway.
John holds up his hand. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, what the hell?
There's four guns.
She walks back in, just fuming at you, and continues to poke through the rest of the room to see if there's anything interesting. Alright, Gaston.
Hi.
Reading through Dr. Zorbius's notes, he's done extensive research on, like I said, on the gifted themselves. And he's come to a few conclusions. They all are within the same rough age range. They were all very young, still undergoing like some of their original cell growth during an astronomical event that occurred some 22 or so years ago. That corresponds with the appearance of an unpredicted comets. You also know the appearance of this comet, which, again, most comets, you know, people say, okay, this one comes around every X years. This one was tracked in, you know, the ancient Zolquians kept track of the sky, and the folks in Seahigh have had excellent astronomical calendars for millennia. This one came out of absolutely nowhere. And everybody, all the gifted, were very young at the time that the comet, or they were very young, or their mothers were pregnant at the time that the comet went by. This comet corresponds exactly to the dates of the expedition to Zolquia, during which Asena first appeared.
So do I know that last part?
You all had access to the notes from Foster Talon's apartment.
Oh, true.
Yes.
So this comet came at the same time when they went to Zolquia.
Yes.
Huh. What happened? Was it a comet that just kind of like passed by our world? Or was it one that crashed?
It came by really close. Parts of it may have landed. Parts of it may have broken off and landed. But there's no specific
maybe
record of that.
Collided with a certain plane that got wrecked and became someone's home. Interesting. I guess I'll hold on to that until I learn more. Anything about... Okay, so they're all the same age.
It's a variety of ages, but they would have all been extremely like young or recently after that.
So this gifted thing didn't start until that comet passed by.
Yeah, this is completely new. And it's like a lot of these folks, they're young kids, their powers are just starting to manifest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything in there about suppression of one's power?
No. Dr. Zorbius is interested in giving all of humanity powers, finding a process by which he can transfuse these qualities into those who are not gifted. He's done almost no research into nullifying these powers. The only such research he's done was how to keep Florence Giotto stable, keep her powers from dissolving her into shadows.
Okay.
Sees this as the next great evolution of humanity.
But then what, does he have anything about where? I'm trying to think of how to word this. How far is Zulquia from Northport?
A few thousand miles.
Is it a place Zorbius has any notes about?
It's not that far, I walked it.
No, Zorbius's research notes don't really pertain to Zulquia almost at all.
Okay. Is there anything more in these notes that I should continue to read, or have I reached the end?
I'm going to say that in the future, you might be able to ask, hey, was there anything, you know, in the notes that applied? But nothing else is jumping out at you.
Okay. Well, I guess it's time to start very slowly and mildly draining Florence's tank. Do I know how to do that? I can
figure
it out.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, yeah? What's up?
Why would you try to... If you drain her tank, she will die.
I didn't say fully. Just a little.
But
so we can talk.
Do you really think that she has anything to talk to you about? She's been stuck in this tank.
I'm sure she'd just... I think after being stuck for so long, she'd be happy to have a conversation. What did you? Did you not walk like 3,000 miles? And then...
Not if I was in a tank that's saving my life.
I don't know why I'm having this conversation with you. I'm just going to start...
I'm going to sit on it.
You don't... Okay, that doesn't do anything. I'm not going to say that out loud, though. That's fine. Sit on the tank. I'm just going to press... buttons like around her and still gonna achieve the same effect.
John, what are you doing? You're in the room. You're aware of everything transpiring.
I'm going to assume that because I was told I was cool with crime, I'm just got a lot of this slide.
You're okay with larceny, stealing from Mr. Giotto.
So
you can still make other decisions. Like, it's not like you're under this...
No. Yeah. Absolutely not. No, I just don't want to... So there was some... I heard goo? There was something about goo?
There was something about goo. You're correct, John.
Were you able to ascertain what that was all about, Gaston?
Yeah, so the goo is... long story short, these kids are all gifted. The one that's really interesting is Florence here. Giotto's daughter, believe it or not. Her power is all about shadows. In fact, she can't control it. That's why she's in the pod. This goo... Long story short, it's keeping her all together. But I'm trying to drain out just a little tiny bit of it because I want to talk to her.
Okay, hold on. Before you do that,
okay.
I'm going to just give a little tap, tap, tap on the glass beneath what Asena is sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
See
okay.
if body inside at all responds to what's happening out
well,
here.
Well, encased in glue, so, you know... You won't hear much more than...
No response whatsoever.
John gives it a little bit of a harder tap, 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 tap.
She is, again, not only floating in glowing goo, she's in a medically induced coma.
Okay, see, I didn't hear that part. Okay.
Forgot about that part. Excuse me.
Okay, that kind of messes up a bit of my plan.
A little bit.
So, yeah, no... No, I don't want to put us at risk. So, yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah, whatever you guys think is best.
Cool. Love that.
Senna, you're worried that this is going to kill her, this process. That's why you're protesting.
But that's literally why she's here in this pod. They said that her shadow form was overcoming her.
Mm-hmm. And she to be fair, you don't know that. I've been reading that.
The notes say otherwise, Gaston. It sounds pretty bad.
Asena can't read. Come on, bro.
I mean, can you?
Okay, Asena's going to jump off of this pod, and she's going to turn the ray gun back on. And she'd be like, oh, do you want me to just blast it then? You want me to just blast it open?
I think there was a happy medium that was being proposed.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. You're criticizing me for wanting to kill her? Come on, bro. What is this?
She's not going to be able to tell you anything because she's been in a coma. That?
Yeah, but if what you, about when she wasn't in a coma?
We can let the rest of any of these three go.
What do you know her? What is this fixation? I'm so confused.
I don't know her.
I see. Are you sure? So is this one of those things where you're lying, not telling the truth?
I'm just pretty sure that I don't want to kill somebody who's just caught in all of this, especially if she's gifted.
Uh-huh. Why especially? What?
Guys, if I could interject, I actually do have a extremely good compromise.
Oh, cool. I thought my idea
this
was
is, this is going to take some time. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Gaston.
No, I just meant like my proposal. I thought it was fun.
No, yours is a great proposal, but you know, it seems like there's still a little bit of dissension in the ranks. Here's the thing, though. It's going to take a little bit of time. Why don't you, Gaston, keep pouring through the notes? And Senna, why don't you take Quirk, was it?
Yeah, sure. Why don't
you guys take a quick look around, make sure that nothing else is going to sneak up on us, grab anything of Giotto's that's of any worth, and just make sure the south end of this place seems pretty okay, but the northern end, we have no idea. I'm going to talk to her without you guys waking her up.
Okay. I read everything here, but is there anything in any of the other rooms I should go look at?
I don't know if you've been into many of the other rooms so far.
Well, I was asking John, because John had been in other rooms.
Yeah, I actually just went over to the north eastern side of this chamber. There was like a makeshift operating room there, and that was where I found out about the gifted. Oh, I don't know if I mentioned, there's a gifted in there. Never reported to the police, it seems. And they were allowed to reanimate into an undead horror, and many tests were run on them to determine that basically stuff that we've already mostly ascertained, but now we have confirmation that the undead are immune to any forms of disease, corruption, or poison, elemental damage, and anything silvered will pump right through their defenses. But normally, any mundane physical attack is going to mostly bounce off them, as they're pretty resistant to it. Mm-hmm. But they can be re-killed.
So, wait, is it still alive in there?
I mean, it's yes and no. It's kind of in a weird mortally fugue state. Like, they're not quite gone. They're not quite here. They're not human anymore, that's for sure. Or whatever.
All right, sold. I'm just going to start walking in there.
Oh, also, the light works on them. It won't kill them, but it makes they don't like it.
Do I have a flashlight? I don't know. We'll see. I'm just going to go.
You have that that syringe that gave yourself...
I still have dark vision. But
yeah, that syringe is derived from the same deep sea volcanic tube worms.
Oh, and I still have some of those. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
And mate, just because it's going to take me a while to do this, John is going to sit down at the end of this table, put his back to it, take kind of like a more meditative kind of posture, and John is going to cast Dream.
Okay. Dope. All right. At that moment, a wave of cold, dark energy pulses through the house. All of you feel your hearts skip a beat for a moment as lives are instantaneously snuffed out. The trap you set in the manor above has gone off. Corpses.
Mate?
Yes?
Sorry, I wanted to let you know, I have a note here that it was actually Black Tentacles that I put, not...
Oh! Not Circle of Death?
not Circle of Death.
It was okay. Tentacles. Yeah, I had that wrong. All right. Well, in that case, somewhere up above, just octopus arms spring from the walls, and people are being thwacked around. And all hell breaks loose. We are going to go ahead and take a short break, and when we return, we will figure out what happens next.
The story continues next time on Coriander Society Adventures. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice. For more Casters and Castles adventures, visit our live stream at twitch.tv/castersandcastles.